Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, Alarmy. Check out Alarmist on Patreon for ad-free episodes and bonus content. Here's a preview of our Guest Alarmist series, only on Patreon.
That really?
He's the inventor of the flush toilet. Yeah, John Crapper.
No, you're kidding.
Yeah. I'm looking
No,
it
I'm serious. I'm not
John
joking.
Crapper is the inventor of the flush toilet.
John Crapper, Thomas. Stop. He was.
Oh, that's why crap is crap?
Yeah.
Go to patreon.com/thealarmist and subscribe today. Now, on to our episode. Each week, we decide who's to blame for a historical tragedy. And each week, you tell us if we got it right. My name is Rebecca Delgado Smith, and this is The Aftermath. The Aftermath. Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning into this episode of The Aftermath. Today, we're speaking with Dr. Gabby Hegerl. Dr. Hegerl is a professor of climate system science at the University of Edinburgh School of Geosciences. She has written and contributed to many articles about the Dust Bowl and how it relates to modern times. Let's hear what she has to say about the Dust Bowl. Hi, Gabby. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hello. Thank you.
So I was hoping that we could start talking about the Dust Bowl by way of what the climate was like in the Great Plains before this huge migration gets there, or before the huge migration that happens. How is the ecosystem working together to just thrive?
Yeah, so we in the 20s, it was quite a wet climate, and people started to plow up the prairies and grow wheat, which went spectacularly well. The prices were good, so they made a good profit, and it was a very good thing to do. And in the 1930s, a drought set in, and that region in the Great Plains is kind of has decadal droughts, wetter and drier period recurring. So it's a period that's a bit temperamental in terms of how wet or dry a year is. And the 30s were overall quite dry. It wasn't, there is some reconstructions of climate on longer timescales based on which it was a dry period, but not a completely outrageously dry period, but it was dry. And so the that meant that the wheat farmers had a bit of trouble with having enough rain for their crops, and so they didn't do so well. And to make a profit, they had to just grow more, so they plowed up some more prairies. And that was the problem, that basically there was a lot of the very tough prairie grass replaced by wheat, which is more sensitive to drought, And it was managed in a way that was sensitive, that made it sensitive to drought. And so the wheat died, and the farmers lost their harvest, and the land lay bare. That was basically what made the Dust Bowl so spectacular, that the land surface was lay bare when the wheat had died. When all the crops had, not all the crops, but when a lot of the crops had died. And so there was all this bare soil on the ground, which meant when there was wind, there were dust storms. So people got sick from the dust storms.
And this process of farming, how did that really contribute? How did the farming contribute to the dust, I guess, the changing of what was there before, and how did farming change the way the area kind of like mitigated the dry spells and the wet spells?
So the prairie grass has very deep roots and is quite tough. So and in the summer it gets brown, but it comes back. So it's kind of a vegetation used to dry and wet and periods, and that it has been adapted to deal with it. But of course, crops are not as robust, and so when they die off, then there is just the soil left. And if you have a large area of land that has been basically had initially crops on it, and then the crops died, and there was just the bare soil, then it's kind of exposed to the wind, and the wind can carry the soil away and can cause problems for health for people. So there was huge dust storms, and the people in the capital didn't believe it initially. They thought, oh, the farmers are moaning again, until the storms reached all the way to New York and Washington, which got them to pay attention that this might actually be a real thing that's going on in the Great Plains. And what drove my attention at first was that I studied heat waves over the United States, I looked at record heat and where record heat occurred and at what time, and found that this particular region in the Central Great Plains had the hottest ever recorded temperatures, and that might be already beaten or might be beaten soon, but up to recently that was the hottest ever days recorded were in the 1930s. So I came from the angle of, how do I explain these crazy temperatures? What happened here? And that's what got me to find that the only way to explain them is if you take the vegetation away, then it's quite easy in a, for example, a climate model to get such high temperatures. So it's basically you replace a prairie, a grassed prairie with a parking lot, more or less, and then it will be hotter. So so it will be all the energy from the sun will go into heating the air rather than evaporating moisture from the vegetation or heating the ground or something. If you have baked dry soil, it gets much hotter.
I see. So that actually contributed to the heat wave that occurred for multiple years.
Yeah, there were several really record hot years, 1936, 1934, years that you cannot easily explain as particularly unusual atmospheric weather patterns. So they were a bit, the weather patterns certainly contributed, but you can't use them alone to say that's why it was so hot.
And there was a saying that they used to sell farmland or encourage farmers to continue to farm in the plains. They would say, the rain follows the plow. Does it?
I think there is some interesting studies about irrigation, like if you irrigate the land, that the moisture evaporates and then it can rain down somewhere else, but that means that you have to irrigate it. If you don't irrigate it, if you just hope for it to grow, I don't really see how that would happen.
And what would have been some warnings? Like, would there have been any warning signs that the people in the area could have, heeded? Because it feels like at what point were they like, oops, I think we might have screwed up here? And would there have been any signs that they could have then changed the course of what they were doing?
So I think what they would have needed to do is look at what rainfall patterns look like in that region and grow something that's robust to occasional drought. So it's now irrigated, of course, but that's a totally different approach. Depending on what you grow, some things are more resilient to drought. But it would have been difficult in the time, and it has been difficult for farmers in that region because it does tend to have these kind of patterns of dry and wet periods that tend to be more than just a single year or so.
Was this were these dust storms something that were, you know, unseen before, or have, you know, dust storms been around for so some time period?
If you don't have the soil bare, then you don't get so much dust blowing. So the fact that they had kind of the land was plowed up, which hadn't happened before. It was just covered in this thick prairie grass that went all dry in a and brown in a drought, but it didn't expose the soil to the same extent. So I think it was something that was definitely encouraged by the agriculture. And they came in with land management suggestions before, like terracing your land and things like that, to address it when the extent of the disaster was clear. Then the government started to instruct farmers what to do and support them, which not all of that was well received because farmers don't like being told what to do. No more. but it was, I think they tried to manage that a little bit to make sure that the soil doesn't blow away, because that's really bad. That's not only bad for the farmers who lose their soil, but it's also really bad for health, these dust storms. They were really dangerous. So they really did not want them to continue.
What were some of the steps that they took to mitigate, you know, this giant dust problem? How did the government get involved?
So they made suggestions on how to manage their farms, how to terrace them. This is not something I know a huge amount about, but they did change land management to address to protect the soil and prevent it from blowing away. You can do that depending on which direction you plow and things like that. But I don't know exactly how they addressed it. I think what was also a factor was, I think there were socioeconomic factors that made it a difficult period, with the banks owning the land and people being in debt, and so the indebted the smaller farmers that were more indebted, they had less wiggle room when things didn't go well, and so that's the ones that got repossessed first. And I think there's all I know about that one I read in Steinbeck, so I'm not...
Yes, many of us.
And there's also a really good book about that time. I think there's several good books about the Dust Bowl period and what exactly happened and how that that disaster unfolded.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Now, as you were saying, 1934, 1936, there were some of the hottest years in recorded history. And it feels like lately we've been going through a very hot time. Are we breaking those records or on track to? Where do you see the current state heading towards?
I think we are definitely breaking lots of records because it's just warmer. And so if you have the same rainfall patterns, but it's warmer, then you evaporate more of the moisture out of the ground. And so it gets drier. And so the ground gets drier and the vegetation gets drier. And so everything can get hotter because you lose, it can't hang on to its moisture so well. And that also means that if you have the exact same rain, but a hotter condition, you can, for example, burn it easier. So it's the way we are, the planet is warming right now is definitely a concern. The Great Plains are not warming as much and as rapidly as some other regions. And there is some interesting ideas about that. Could be with the land surface again, so that the irrigation has been counteracting some of that warming by just bringing in the moisture. But of course, the water table is not steady, and so this is not something that can go on forever. So it's quite tricky. For me, this was studying the Dust Bowl and finding out what had been the origin of these heat waves, which I thought would probably have been, which I went into studying thinking there must be some interesting meteorological patterns or something, and came out realizing that it's all about the land surface in this case. And that makes me concerned also about global warming, because under warmer conditions, it's easier to make the vegetation dry out, lose vegetation, or kill forests or so, which then is hard to get back and has long-term ramifications. So for me, that was a reason to worry about tipping points in vegetation and tipping points in how the planet responds to climate change, where not always things are just slowly getting a bit warmer. And the Dust Bowl was a period where it didn't get a little bit drier. It got drier, and then a whole chain of events unfolded.
Yes. Now, what have we learned anything since the Dust Bowl? Do you think we are prepared for a scenario like that right now?
We can much better predict the probability of drought in the region. We can't predict if how dry exactly it's going to be, but we know what patterns in the ocean surface temperatures, how they make drought more or less likely. So I think we get much, much better early warning signs. So we would not be like the farmers at the time, just from day to day, hoping that the rain would come tomorrow. But we would be much better able to see how likely is it that this drought is going to continue. That said, we have all watched the California drought with the ridiculously resilient ridge, which took a long time to break and is still a threat, to my understanding. So we still can't exactly predict when a drought sets in and when it stops, but we are in a much in a place where we can see a lot more.
What can someone like me, like many of our listeners, do to enact some kind of change when it comes
to climate change? Because sometimes it feels like it's very big. It's very much out of our hands, out of our control. Can you help us help you?
So I think it's always worthwhile thinking about the small scale stuff. So in my garden, I like to have nice vegetation, and it's nice to have some trees and some local vegetation. So for I think the lesson of that the native vegetation can actually deal with this, whereas maybe a green carpet lawn might not deal so well. That might be a good lesson. Well, we can support the transition away from fossil fuels, which is, I think, is quite important. So I drive an electric car, and I have to say it's fun to drive. That's the reason I bought the one I bought was because my friends in the States that had that said it's always gone because everybody in the family loves this car. And so so I do enjoy it. It's not actually painful at all. And so we can support the transition. We can vote for politicians that think that take it seriously. We can do a whole lot of things, and we can just make our own little area, give it a place for nature, give the birds or the wildlife a chance, and just help be our own little oasis of where we have an influence, nice and close to nature.
So at the end of the day, we ask all of our guest experts the same question. If you had to pick a person or a thing, it could be a concept, that you think is to blame for the Dust Bowl, who or what would that be?
Oh, oh dear.
oh dear. Again, it could be a concept. It could be something larger.
Yes, I think we need to respect the planet and the nature, and we need to understand how it works and how we can work with it, and consider it in our decisions. I'm sure the Native Americans knew that there is dry and wet periods, so I'm sure some people knew how the prairies work, and it would have been good to first listen and then plow them up, and not the other way around.
Oh, yes. Yeah, they needed a new catchphrase. The listening follows the plow instead of the rain follows the plow.
Yes, first think, then act.
Well, thank you so much, Gabby, for joining us today and helping us understand the climate and everything surrounding the Dust Bowl.
Thank you.
And we're going to head over to Patreon right now and discuss this further. If you'd like to hear our post-interview discussion and final verdict, head over to Patreon and subscribe. Your support is greatly appreciated. Check out our show notes for a link or head over to patreon.com/thealarmist. And stay tuned because next week we'll be discussing the Chris Benoit murder-suicide. The Alarmist.
Powered by Acast.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape.
And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.